did this. Doesn't matter what anybody says. They can say it's disrespectful. They can say it's this and that and that. Everybody's within the rules. Everybody's doing their thing. All we are is proud and passionate. We are like a college sports team. The Toronto Raptors are a college sports team. I promise you. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It is Friday, May 24, and I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me some of that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today as we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Strayer just a little bit, mate. Just what we do. All right, so we're going to wrap a huge Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Raps and the Bucks from today with an epic crapping of the bed from the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's going to be covered with all the usual dumbassery, if that's not enough. Old mate, no mate, spot of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, as usual, every day we have, yeah, nah, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we have our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. And because it's Friday, we've got a brand new Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job, role player Hall of Fame inductee. And it's a good one today. Plus, we'll do a preview for Sunday's Game 6. Suddenly, it's an elimination game for the Bucks in Toronto. Noise. And we're going to close out the week with the return of Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Yes, I can't wait for that one. It's been a couple of weeks in the making, this one, so it's going to be good. All right, man, this is NBA Strayer episode 293. Let's go!
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wow, you better! Oh, you better watch out for the refs if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, huh? It might be Algonquin for the good land, but it is not Algonquin for getting nice calls from referees. Holy crap. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right. And we do have an Australian World Cup squad. Yes. This was actually announced yesterday, but because we did a pre-tape with Lakers fan Tim, we missed the announcement. But it's pretty good, pretty exciting times. And it's a hell of a World Cup squad, isn't it? That's right. We had Jingles. And Chris Goulding down there at Marvel Stadium yesterday announcing the World Cup squad. The 18 member, like I think we had 17 to start off with. We've got Xavier Cook sort of maybe added to the end of it. Maybe. We're going to wait and see how this goes. But still, exciting times for Australian basketball. Absolutely huge to see this lineup. And they basically have a starting lineup where we could actually have all NBA players. So, your Boomer squad, let's fucking go! Dang Adele, Aaron Bangers, Baines, Todd Blanchfield, Andrew Bogey, Bogut, Jonas, Soto, Bruce, Bolden, Mitch the Creek Freak, Matty King Deli, Delavidova, King Deli, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, Cameron Glidden, Chris Goulding, Jinglin' Joe Ingles, Nicholas Kay, Jock Landau, Mitchie McCarron, Patty Thrills, Mills, Brock Modem, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Nathan Sobey. Ah, if you add those words together, you know what it says?
Gold, gold, gold for Australia.
Love it. Can't wait for this World Cup. Can't wait for the USA games that we're going to be at in Melbourne. That's going to be absolutely bloody unreal, isn't it? How exciting. People did ask, basically as this was announced, where's Thon McCur, big Kung Fu Thon? He's out there Kung Fu fighting. No, he's working on his roundhouse kicks back in Detroit as the Pistons were like, hey, Thon, we'd actually like you to kick around here and stick around with us for a bit and work on your game. And Thon's like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, which is a bit of a shame. It would have been good to see Thon in there. And Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, friend of the program, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, already took his name out of the contention for the squad after his wife is basically due to give birth to their first child. So, just another little Ryan Rowdy Brockoff out there dropping threes left, right, and center, no doubt. But yeah, Rowdy's going to be sticking around with the missus, which is, hey, man, considering I've now got a four-month-old. Jesus, tell you what, takes a bit of work. So there you go. So that was a good bit of news from yesterday. What other news did we have? We had the All-NBA teams announced, and yours truly, Muggins over here, nearly named all the All-NBA teams, and I feel like mine was still better. The All-NBA first team was Steph Curry, Jimmy Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Paul George, and the Joker. Nikola Jokic, hello. He's the Nuggets' first All-NBA first team since David Thompson back in 78, which is pretty wild. So I named all those things. I had Dame over Steph, however. So Dame makes the second team along with Kyrie Irving, Kawhi. the Coward Snake, Kevin Durant, or as they call him, the American Joe Ingles, and Joel Embiid. I had Steph, Rusty, Kawhi, KD, and Embiid. So I went 3 of 5 on that one with Steph and Dame switching places and Rusty coming in on the third team. Because he does head off the third team along with Kemba Walker, Blake Griffin, LeBron James, and Rudy Gobert, the Steph Tower. Now, I had Kyrie on the third team, so that's the old switcheroo there with Rusty. And Big Simo Ben Simmons on the third team. Unfortunately, again, the No Bloody Australians Association, NBA, always really want to put Kemba Walker ahead of Ben Simmons, don't they, for no real reason. Big Simo, much better all year than Kemba Walker, if you ask me. Anyway, but LeBron James on the third team after missing 26 games. Look, this is his 15th All-NBA selection, which is absolutely crazy. He ties Kobe, Big Timmy Duncan, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most All-NBA selections of all time. That is absolutely unreal. So in terms of snubs, everyone's kind of like, oh, where's Klay Thompson? And Klay Thompson himself was like, hey, man, where's Klay Thompson? I know I'm better than the rest of these guards, so where am I? And of course, Klay's a little bit pissy because he does make an all-defense team, which is pretty good. But at the same time, his extension, his money, could take a bit of a hit down the track, old Clay. But I think he'll be all right. So it's a bit of a snub. Ben Simmons as well, it's a bit of a snub. So what does this mean for the All-NBA? Well, Kemba makes it, which means that he can now actually be eligible for the Supermax. And the difference that now he's eligible for that Supermax is $80 million. That's right. He can now sign a 5-year, $220 million $221 million contract with the Charlotte Hornets, or a 4-year, $190 million contract with another team, which is pretty crazy. So, look, wow, that's just a lot of money. So, across the length of that contract, it'll be $80 million difference, and which is absolutely wild. So, look, yeah, well, you know, what he would have been able to if he hadn't been up for the Supermax. So, great job, Kemba. The flip side of this is that Karl Anthony Towns did not make the All-NBA team, which means his new 5-year contract, which kicks in this year, is $158 million, because if he'd made it, it would have gone all the way up to $189.7 million. Wow. Big Karl Anthony Towns. That's a tough one. But to be fair, I mean, who are you going to put him in there over? Joker? Embiid? Rudy? I don't think so. I did have Cat was my fourth next big. And I actually sort of, you know, tossed up between him and Rudy, but went with Rudy in the end, and that worked out as well. So Brad Beal doesn't, Clay doesn't, Kat loses $32 million, and Giannis Antetokounmpo going All-NBA for the second consecutive season now means that his extension in 2020 could be the largest contract in NBA history. It could be a 5-year extension worth $250 million, $247.3 million it could be. Jesus, not bloody bad there, Giannis. That's absolutely unreal, isn't it? For a kid, a refugee in Greece, could sign a $250 million contract. Unreal. On you, Giannis. Anyway, what other news? We had the old defense teams announced as well. We had the first team. We had Rudy Gobert, Steph Tower. We had Paul George, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Marcus Smart, and Eric Bledsoe on that first team. And the second team, we had Joel Embiid, Kawhi, Draymond, Drew Holiday, and Klay Thompson. So our teams here were Miles Turner, Paul George, Giannis, Marcus Smart, and Klay as our first team. Our second team was Joel Embiid, Pat Bev on the clips there, Kawhi, Rudy Gobert, Steph Tower, and Eric Bledsoe. So we hit a lot of them, but at the same time, the fact that Pat Beverly is not on the all-defensive team is absolutely wild. Let alone, like, people saying, oh, Danny Green got more votes than Pat Bev. That's an outrage in itself, but him not even making a goddamn 1-2 all-defensive team is crazy. Name off the better defenders in the NBA, not name Patrick Beverly. There's, like, 2 or 3 names. Come on, man. Miles Turner not missing. Well, this is five things, right? Number two, Miles Turner missing is also a bloody outrage. Who could win Defensive Player of the Year and not be on the goddamn all defensive team? Give me Miles Turner ahead of Draymond, at least on the second team. Dre was up and down all regular season, didn't get in shape until after the All-Star break. So give me Miles Turner, who was a beast all year. Number three, people are talking about PJ Tucker missing out as well, which is a little bit more understandable because he's got his force his way past Paul George, Giannis, Kawhi, and I mean, maybe Draymond there, but still, Jesus, PJ. Number four, Clay should have been first team, I think, ahead of probably maybe Smart. Bledsoe was amazing, don't forget this. He was like the lead guard on like the second best defense in the league. So anyway, and Clay was very, very, very good all year. And finally, number five, there were absolute dipshits out there who voted for Kyrie Irving and fucking Dame Lillard for all defense teams, and they should be stripped of their votes post-haste. This is going to pop up later, and I'm going to yell about it a bit more. All right, some injury news. The Warriors announced that Boogie will be back in these finals and that Kevin Durant won't probably start the finals. They reckon he will be back at some point during those NBA finals, but I don't know, man. What do you reckon? Are you getting some very whiffy Kevin Garnett 2009 vibes here? Because I am. Where the Boston Celtics were all kind of like, Kevin's probably going to be back. It's not that much of a serious injury. And then it's like, oh, yeah, he's out for the season. Just saying. It's a bit weird. Anyway. All right. So there you go. That's the news for today. Let's go into the wrap for today. A fun-ass game. If you're a Raptors fan, not so much fun if you're going for the Milwaukee Bucks or hate Drake. Game 5 in Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. Thanks, Pete. The Toronto Raptors win at 105-99 on the back of a huge showing from Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets and Kawhi. Kawhi was amazing. Fred VanVleet was incredible. Look, Game 5, Milwaukee make a bit of an adjustment. They bring in Malcolm Brogdon into the starting lineup instead of Nico Minutichello, which was very good. The Bucks jump out to a fast start. The home court was going wild. They've got David Bakhtiari, Skull and Beers, Aaron Rodgers, Game of Thrones extra Aaron Rodgers. Not being able to skull a beer. I mean, later they had Kristen Yelich as well. Sculling a beer, which is pretty fun. A lot of sculling beers there in Milwaukee. Could have used that energy to win the game. What do you reckon? So Bledsoe gets off to a flyer. He was absolutely unreal. He had 9 points in the first 5 minutes, did Bledsoe. But Kawhi and Norm Powell also sort of helped them help the Raps keep in touch. Because this was a very dicey moment there for the Raptors. It was a 16-4 basically early. A 15-1 run from the Bucks. But Kawhi and Norm Powell got in there too. Kawhi had 9 points. Norm had 6 points. Yeah, the only Raptors really doing much. Gasol missed all three of his first shots. Lowry was 1 of 5. But because of Kawhi and Norm, they stayed in touch. They're only down 10 at the first quarter mark. And really, it could have been a lot more. Now, the second quarter was where this really turned on its head because Giannis is out there getting punked, not getting any foul calls. Kyle Lowry is just getting all these other calls going his way up the other way. The Bucks, they don't score for basically the opening 4 minutes of the second quarter. No one can hit a shot. It sits at 34-29 for ages. The Bucks missed 10 of their 11 shots and scored 2 points in an entire half of this quarter. That's an NBA playoff quarter. They scored 2 points. Fred VanVleet hits a three. It's tied 34-34. The Raptors are like on 2 of 17 shooting from the starters not named Kawhi, and they were up. It's absolutely crazy. Nikola Mirotic came in, missing shots everywhere. He went 0-3 and basically pushed his total for this series to 6 of 30 for the series. But look, Toronto basically put together an 18-2 run. Raptors lead. Giannis misses a dunk. And you're like, oh, what the hell is happening? Is this like an epic meltdown? Finally, Milwaukee get going again, though. But they just have too many turnovers. They're 9 turnovers in the first, like, basically, I don't know, 3 quarters of the first half. Giannis has a massive dunk in traffic, and you're like, all right, and we're feeling good. And they finally eke out to a 3-point lead going into the half, 49-46 the Bucks. But an absolutely brutal quarter where they let the Raps get all the way back into the game. They are outscored 24-17 in the second quarter by the Raptors of the Bucks. It was brutal. The Bucks, though, come out in the second half. They're engaged. Bledsoe, Lopez, Giannis, they're all doing stuff, but their defense just suddenly just can't keep up with the Raptors. Kawhi keeps killing him dead. And you're like, oh, man, the Bucks just can't really stick it to him. But the Bucks had a 14-2 run. You're like, all right, this is great. But it turns out NBA basketball is a game of runs. And Freddie Van Vliet hits a couple of threes. Absolutely wild scenes. Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry are doing good things as well at this point. By the time we hit the third quarter mark, it's still only a three-point game towards the Bucks. Kawhi's already got 20 points. Big booty Kyle Lowry wakes up. He has a 14 at that point. Fred with 15 off the bench, all of which with threes. He hit five threes in a row. He eventually gets to seven. It's absolutely crazy. So they get into the fourth quarter and the Raps just take over. It is absolutely wild. Kawhi just goes, all right, fuck it. You know what? Fred Van Vliet hits his sixth three. They go from down four, the Raptors, to up four within the span of 90 seconds. And it's just, the Bucks are just sitting there back on their heels. The crowd are quiet. They don't know what's happening. Kawhi hits back-to-back threes. They're up four, and it's absolutely wild. The Bucks, I mean, those two threes from Kawhi, they came on some pretty iffy calls going against the Bucks. Kawhi hits back-to-back threes. He had just absolutely shredding it. The problem was the Bucks just couldn't get out of their own way, could they? There was a 10-0 run from the Raptors. Giannis just kept running into like a 1-on-5 wall every time he brought the ball up. So it slows down. George Hill hits a couple of buckets. You're feeling okay. But the Bucks just aren't getting anything out of Chris Middleton. They're not getting anything. Well, they had like maybe two buckets out of Bledsoe. And you're like, all right, cool, that's fine. But he just sort of disappeared again in the fourth quarter. And you're like, this is not the script where the Bucks win, you know? Absolutely brutal scenes. Bledsoe goes 1 of 3 in this quarter. Brogdon suddenly can't hit a shot either. Giannis eventually tweaks an ankle. It's all tied at 93. Kawhi free throws. It's just basically about it. Giannis turns his ankle just a hint. There's some fishy reffing. There's a foul on Lopez after the rock refs stop the clock because they're like, oh, I think that might have been a shot clock violation. Oh, no, it was a foul too. And it's just absolutely crazy. Bledsoe dribbles up the court with no plan. Brogdon turns it over. Raps hit their free throws. And that's the game. It was absolutely wild this fourth quarter. The refs start calling stuff. Lowry gets absolutely poleaxed on like one of the last couple of possessions there. And the refs are like, nah, that's not a foul. Where they've spent a lot of this goddamn game calling just some of the more head-scratching touch fouls you'll ever see. Lowry literally gets like NFL tackled. Absolutely crazy, but the Raps come away winners 105-99. Bledsoe goes missing. Brogdon goes missing. Middleton can't hit anything. Giannis literally is taken out for the last minute and a bit of the game after hurting his ankle. So that's going to bear a little bit of keeping the eye on. What do you reckon for game six, huh? So Bucks, look, as a team, they shot 45.2%. It was substantially better than the Raptors. Unfortunately. It came down to free throws, and the Raps shot a couple more. We'll talk about that in a second. Giannis, like, this is the story of this series so far, right? For the last three games, he's had okay stat lines, but has not dominated. 9 of 17 from the floor, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. You're like, that's pretty bloody good. Only 2 turnovers, but that's the same as all series, right? He's good without being super efficient, super effective Giannis, which is what we've seen all season. And then suddenly clamps Leonard. Jumps on him for these last three games, and Giannis just really can't get much going. The playmaking is there, but unfortunately, his teammates aren't hitting shots either and helping him out. So the way that the Raps cover him when it slows down the half court just shows you that he's not quite all the way there yet. And look, his playmaking is there. His Bucks teammates are just not hitting shots when he's hitting them. There were a couple of iffy turnovers, as mentioned, but geez, Giannis was not helped out tonight by the shooting of the rest of the Bucks. Speaking of which, Chris O. Middleton, he had a bit of a rough one, I'll tell you that. Jeez, Chris O., what are you doing, mate? 2 of 9 from the Milwaukee Bucks, second All-Star. 6 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Just looked like he did not have it going. He had a really, really good game 4. Cannot bounce back and crush it in game 5 at home, which is a bit of a head-scratcher. Bledsoe puts on a bled show at the start of each half and then disappears for the rest of the game. 20 points, 2 of which came at the very death. 2 assists is all he had, 4 turnovers, 6 of 14 shooting, 2 of 7 from downtown. And as soon as he saw his first couple of shots go down, he's like, yes, I'm on one. Here we go. It's the Bled Show. And everyone else is like, all right, can you pass us the ball though, Eric? Maybe. It was a tough part because he was very good at the very start of the game, at the very start of the second half. The rest of the game, not so much. Tough one for Bled. So, Brook Lopez, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 7 of 12 from the floor. Pretty good. Only 1 of 4 from downtown as well. And 5 fouls again for the big fella. Was kind of missing in the middle of this game. Hit a big 3 late, which was absolutely unreal, but really couldn't get it quite stroking. And it's the thing with Lopez where like, he's kind of just good enough to keep you in it, but you really need that push over the top. He kind of just isn't there. Brogdon, he had a great game starting. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. But as mentioned, had a really rough fourth quarter where he shot 1 of 5, including 0 of 2 from downtown. It was the moment where you're like, you need him to have a steady head. And it's like, oh, but he's young. He only just won Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. No, he's 26. Like, come on. Hit a couple of shots there, Brogdon. You're at home, man. He played great D. He's matched up on Kawhi a bunch of times, but man, really screwed the pooch at the end. For the bench, the Bucks were just horrible. 15 total points after only 18 last game. Outscored substantially once more by the Raptors bench. Nico Mirotic looked horrible in only 9 minutes. He was dragged after going 0-4 and 0-3. He was minus 11 in that time. George Hill was okay. Probably even should have played a little bit more. 12 points, 5 of 8 shooting for Georgie. And they do look very, very, like, this is the problem. Brogdon, George Hill, and Bledsoe were all pretty okay. And then when it came to, like, push came to shove, they all kind of went a little bit missing. And you're like, oh, man. If we can't rely on all, like, one or two of these three dudes just to really be solid down the stretch, we're in trouble. And that's what happened. Paddy Connaughton had 3 points, and Ilyasova was not very good again today. 11 minutes, 0 points in 18 minutes. 11 minutes, sorry, 0 points. That was tough. Sterling Brown got out there instead of Nico Mirotic in the second half and did not much either. Had a very horrible foul called against him as well, which is a reputation foul where the ref's like, oh, cool, we can't call these usually on Giannis or like Kawhi. Oh, that's Sterling Brown though. Fuck that guy. Jesus. It's full on brutal. For the Raptors, somehow they shot 36.9% from the floor, got out-rebounded 53-45 and won this game, which is wild. Absolutely wild. So how did they win, James? Well, it was Tony Brothers, Mark Davis led assault. But James, they aren't players. No, no friend. They are not. They are refs. And there was a 31-18 free throw advantage with the Raptors hitting 12 more free throws than the Bucks in Milwaukee. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but keep the names Tony Brothers and Mark Davis in your head because it is not great. But at the same time, the Raptors did go out there and kick ass and take names. Kawhi. He was great. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. 11 of 25 from the field. Missed a couple of shots where you're expecting him to make them, which is, you know, why the Bucks were kind of still in it down the stretch as well. But was very good. 5 of 8 from 3 as well. Siakam was quietly effective. Didn't shoot very well, but had 3 blocks, including 2 down the stretch, which were massive. One on Lopez and another one, I think, on Bledsoe, where he just, like, slapped it out of bounds. It's like, oh. So a bit of defense was very handy. He had also had 14 points and 13 rebounds. Big booty Kyle Lowry struggled again, but did enough and got to the line enough to really hurt the Bucks. 17 points and 11 shots, 4 of 11 shooting. Kobe. 7 of 8 from the free throw line, though. And don't forget, he went 10 of 10 last game, too. 7 rebounds, 6 assists as well. Mark Coach Killer Gasol hit a massive 3 late, which was just as well because he was shithouse for the rest of the game. He was 0 of 5 until that point. Ends up 1 of 6, 1 of 4 from downtown with 4 points, 6 rebounds, 0 assists. Danny Not the Boxer Green, speaking of struggling, he just can't do anything in this series. 0 of 3 from the floor in 17 minutes. They pulled him very early for Van Vliet, who was on one. And speaking of the Raptors bench, they were sensational. 35 points, outscored the Bucks bench by 20. Last game, they outscored them by 25. Norm Powell was great again. 8 points early, got them going. Fred VanVleet, though, absolutely massive. 21 points, 7 of 9 from 3 after having a kid on your mate. Back to back to back, good games. You are an absolute star, Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleets. And Serge Ibaka chucked in 6 points, 6 rebounds in 19 minutes. But man, Van Vliet and Kawhi, there were moments when this game was slipping away from the Raptors and Van Vliet would hit 2 threes. Kawhi would hit 2 threes and suddenly they're back within 6. And then you get a couple of free throws. You're within two. You're within three. You're ahead one. And that's how the game gets won. And when you take 31 to 18 in the free from the free throw line, yeah, man, that's a bit easier to do. Wild times. Absolutely wild times. But Kyle Lowry, I mean, some of the fouls he got called against the Bucks were just like really good veteran plays. He just went to the hoop. And Bledsoe, for his part, didn't. Brogdon, didn't. Middleton, didn't. It was just that willingness of the Raptors to go in and go hard. Ibaka had four free throws. Powell had six. Lowry with the eight. Kawhi kept going in as well. That's how you win basketball games in the playoffs. It's not rocket surgery. There you go. Raptors, 3-2. They win it. It's 105-99. Drake's losing his mind. It's absolutely crazy. The Bucks had only lost two games in a row once this year. They've now lost three straight, 3-0 since Kawhi went to Giannis as his primary defender. And Toronto are 3-2 going back to the six for game six. Unreal. What a scene. They show a lot of Jurassic Park when they're winning, not too much when they're losing. Interesting. All right, let's look at the NBA Stereo Approved Performance of the Night, though.
That's a nice. That's a knife.
That's a knife, Fred VanVleet. Holy shit, they don't win this game without him. He has one of the games of his life, 7 of 9 from downtown for 21 total points. Absolutely on fire. He was incredible. Great stuff, Fred VanVleet. But at the same time, come on, man. Fred VanVleet was plus 28 when he was on the floor. Can you believe that? But this game, I mean, it has to be. It just has to be. It has to be fun guy, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he is a fun guy, but he also chucked in 35 points, has a massive game. 35 points, 11 of 25 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown. But the big part of Kawhi's game that he came out swinging in the fourth quarter, he had 15 points in the fourth quarter. It was a plus 9. He went 4 of 9 from the floor. As an entire game, though, he had 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Was just deathly cool under pressure. 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and only 1 turnover on the road in a game 5 to put your team up 3-2. But man, the craziest part was Kawhi just goes, ah, fuck it. There's at one point where he palmed the ball, faked a pass, just kept it in his palm. Like Scottie Pippen out there. But he really did just go in this fourth quarter, go, fuck it. I'm going to take over. I'm just going to win this one. Hey, what do you reckon? A minute 50 left in this game. The Raps are up 1. Kawhi comes up the court, shoots a pull-up 3. It misses. There's 4 Bucks standing around the ball. Kawhi literally walks into the paint untouched, gets his own rebound. Giannis is panic fouls him. Kawhi hits the free throws. The Raptors are up 3 again. The game, basically at that point, you just knew it was kind of done. The Bucks weren't locked in. There were just crucial rebounds like that that just kept going to the Raptors. Even though they got out-rebounded, they did have 10 offensive rebounds, which is more than the Bucks only had 8. It was very, very handy. Good job, Raptors. Great job, Kawhi. That was wild. That's the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night. What about old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Look, this is one of those weird ones where up and down in the series, Chris Middleton. He was old mate, no mate's last game because there was no one else in the bloody Bucks who did anything. He was the only one to show up. He's old mate, no mates for this game because, Chris, mate, you're an all-star. 6 points in a game 5 at home with your man struggling? Come on, dude. You got to step up. You got to do better than 2 for 9. Get the fuck out of here, my man. You can't do this. 2 of 9. You're an all-star, Chris Middleton. You are old mate, no mates today. That was absolutely brutal. His turnaround 3, that was basically their last gasp chance of getting back in the game, that he pretty much airboarded, was just brutal, wasn't it? Oh, Chris Middleton, you're killing me. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
I mean, look, it could have been Chris Middleton, but we've already given him old mate no mates. We're not going to jump on. 2 of 9, though, was just, tough sledding. 0 of 2 from downtown, Chriso. But anyway, how about we give this, look, it was going to go to Marc Gasol. He was 0 of 5 until he hit that huge 3 in the fourth quarter to put the Raps up 7 out of nowhere. But because he hit that, pretty much when Reggie said, Marc Gasol needs to get going and hit a three here. And then Marc Gasol promptly did that, which was fucking wild. But Nico Mirotic, this is one of the worst 9-minute showings you'll ever see in NBA basketball. 0 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 3, brought nothing to the game. They surrendered their lead literally as soon as he stepped onto the court. It was absolutely brutal. And Nico is having a shocker of a series. He had been devastatingly effective at points throughout this playoffs, don't forget. Especially down the stretch of the season, he looked really, really good. Popped up with a couple of 12-point games against Detroit. Was okay at times against Boston. He had 13 twice and, you know, shot at 40%, but 36% from three, which is what you need him to do. Unfortunately, he had 15 points in game two, 13 points in game one. Not too bad. Since then, had 10 points on 11 shots, 11 points on 10 shots, and today 0 points on 4 shots. For the series, he is shooting 16.9% from 3. This is your formerly starting power forward who helps you spread the floor. Oh, that is brutal. He is a total of 6 of 31 from 3. Brutal. That is some spud-worthy action from Nico. Panting the night, this goes to Giannis. I mean, since Kawhi went to him in Game 3, it's 3-0 Toronto, and he just has not looked right. And there was a great stat floating around of Giannis' points per 100 possessions per defender. Kawhi is at 15.9. The next closest is Blake Griffin at 31.2. That is absolutely bloody crazy. Al Horford, for all the ballyhooing about how great he was defending Giannis, 40.6 points per 100 possessions by defender Kawhi. 15.9. Jesus, that's crazy. But Giannis, there was a couple of times, I don't know, he's just getting pantsed by the refs, you feel like it, at every turn. So that was a tough one for him. But yeah, it's like one of those things where you're like, all right, Giannis. Kind of happy that they hadn't given out the MVP award as well before the actual playoffs, right? Because this is one of those classic Dirk Nowitzki ones where you're like, he comes out, they've given him the MVP, and then suddenly he gets outplayed. It's tough to watch, and Kawhi is definitely outplaying him right now. So Kawhi is panting Giannis, which is tough to watch. Better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. How about Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets being better than Lonzo Ball? That's right, the undrafted Fred VanVleet, who fought his way into the NBA through the old G League, formerly the D League, with the Raptors, makes it to their starting, well, you know, is a starter for a bit of this season, comes off the bench in the conference finals, drops 7 threes on top of the Bucks and puts them up 3-2. Absolutely wild. The most Lonzo balls ever hit in a game were 6, and he's never done it in a conference finals because don't forget, Lonzo's never made a conference finals. Absolutely crazy. So, Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vleets, much better than Big Baller Brand Ballin' Season Lonzo Ball.
It's ballin' season!
If ballin' season, sitting at home watching the playoffs and scratching your nuts. Alright, and finally, who is our dickhead of the week?
Dickhead of the week!
Now, we could give this to Magic Johnson for burning down his old franchise the day they injured their new coach and throwing him under the bus straight away, and also grabbing their remaining GM / Vice President of Basketball Ops, or whatever the hell Rob Pelinka was named, under a bus that Magic was basically driving over him. Holy moly, Magic. But really, I love Magic. And I think he's a bit of a lovable goof with a well-deserved ego the size of Brazil. But at the same time, come on, that was a tough move by Magic. Bit dickish. And when I say a bit, I mean completely. The day that they're introing their new coach is the day that Magic somehow decides to go on First Take and flamethrow the entire Lakers organization. Tough. But actually, dickhead of the week, this goes to the people who voted for Steph or defensive first team, or voted for Kyrie and Dame on the defense teams. What the fuck is going on with you? But really, it's got to go to Drake, doesn't it? He's dominated the news cycle the last 4 days. The on-court antics, the shoulder massage, the acting like a complete fuckwit. There's guaranteeing your team is going to be in the finals. We're up 3-2. That's pretty ballsy today. But also then weirdly, creepily changing your Instagram avatar to the Bucks owner's daughter, Mallory Edens, just because she wore a Pusha T t-shirt. When you've already got a pretty weird, creepy kind of reputation when it comes to the youngerish type of ladies, Drake, Just saying, you're not even our dickhead of the week. You're our Friday fuckwit. That's right, fuckwit of the week is Drake. Go wear another fucking turtleneck and change, you moron. All right, Yenaz, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. It's time for Yeah Nah. Take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, have I had enough coffee today? Yeah Nah, yeah. Oh, it's one of those points where you've had too much coffee that your stomach starts hurting. You're like, oh, I'm pretty sure the coffee's eating away my stomach lining. Oh, jeez. But anyone who wants to know, the broken toe's coming along nicely. I'm walking okay. Not sure if I'm going to be running anytime soon. Jesus. I still can't believe I broke my toe jumping off the back of a couch. Anyway, just to, you know, because the baby's asleep, the dog's barking like an idiot. You're like, all right, dog, quit it. Anyway, let's get to Yeah Nahs. Was Klay an all-NBA snub, as Klay Thompson believes? Yeah Nah. I mean, yeah, I kind of think he was. He was very good. All year was Klay. And I'd argue he was probably better than Kemba. Like, the numbers aren't really quite there, but he still averaged 21.5 points a game, only missed a couple of games this season, and was absolutely bloody unstoppable. I mean, he shot 40% from three again for, what's that, 8 straight years. I think he was better than Kemba. I'm just saying. He should have been on there, not Kemba. Number two, should all NBA voters be able to select just the best 15 players overall without having to take into consideration position? I mean, yeah, when it comes to when, you know, the years where you have to put DeAndre Jordan as your first team center a couple of years ago. But I kind of feel like, look, I like this because at least positionally you get to go, this is the best center. We're actually, this is a team. We need to run this team out there against another team. And this is the best team we could put together of the best players. This is the best center in the league. These are the best two forwards. These are the best two guards. Or you can say, you know, this is our best ball handler. It's our best bigs. I don't know. I kind of like All-NBA being positionally based. But at the same time, you do end up with DeAndre Jordan as your first team NBA center, isn't it? So, yeah, maybe we should just go fuck it with the positions. And look, I think all-star positions should be completely fucked off, and maybe All-NBA should be as well. Just 15 best players. They were the All-NBA 15 players. Just do it. In this vein, should NBA votes be revoked if you have been proven to be a complete and utter fucking dickhead? Shit, yes. Are you kidding me? Someone left one of Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, the Coward Snake, LeBron James, or Blake Griffin off their All-NBA vote so they could put Marvin fucking Bagley on there. Now, you should have a three strikes and you're out policy, I think. If you're going to vote for fucking Dame or Kyrie on one of the two All-NBA defense teams, that's a strike. You put Marvin Bagley on your All-NBA teams instead of Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi, Durant, LeBron, or Blake Griffin. That should probably count as like fucking six strikes because you're a fucking moron, but you should definitely lose your ballot forever. You're just done because you're clearly fucking pandering to your team. You're not being objective. You're being a fuckwit, and you shouldn't be allowed to have an NBA vote if you're a fuckwit. Simple. I was so fucking heated. Steph being on the fucking, getting an All-NBA first team vote is just outrageous when Pat Beverly's not getting on this fucking team. Whoever puts that shit down needs to be fired out of a cannon. Next up, is Kawhi the best two-way player in the NBA? I mean, I've always been a little bit dubious on Kawhi's offense, but he's been so fucking good in this series. The way he and Toronto have covered Giannis is absolutely wild defensively. There's just nothing easy for Giannis. And it's because Kawhi is there on the floor. Between Kawhi and Siakam, Giannis just can't do shit. It's wild to see it. And then Kawhi's out there dropping 35 each night. It's absolutely crazy. Look, load management is just not the name and the nickname I now have for the look that my mate's girlfriends give them. It's 100% what works out amazing for Kawhi Leonard. That is fucking crazy. LeBron better be on that load management next year, I'm telling you. Jeez. And finally, oh man, I'm Milwaukee. Toast. Yeah, nah. Nah, look, I reckon they bounce back. They can, at least this is the point, they can bounce back. That Bucks bench has just gone missing the last couple of games. The rest of the guys around Giannis apparently can't play all well all at once for an entire game all of a sudden. So, while three straight losses is brutal, I don't know. This Bucks team is still really fucking good. So they have a hope. Therefore, they are not toast. They could easily pull it together and win game six. And I would very much like to see that. So I don't think they're toast. They're going to be backs to the wall. Giannis could whip out. It depends on his ankle, but he could be incredible. All right. With that in mind, unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
I usually think complaining about refs is pretty fucked and a bit like on the nose, and it usually sort of evens itself out. But this was wildly ref this game, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but watching this game, I'm sitting there going, so what is a foul? Like, just objectively, what is a foul? Giannis is going to the fucking basket. He's getting whomped every time he goes in there. And there's no calls. Kyle Lowry goes towards the bucket. Is barely even fucking looked at. Throws a wild shot up and that's a foul. There's a bump where he's like trying to run past somebody and falls out of bounds, and they've called that a fucking block, like a foul. It's like, what is happening? This is absolutely crazy. So come the fuck on, NBA. The craziest part was, we should have seen this coming. I mentioned this earlier, but Tony Brothers, the Raptors in their last 15 games with Tony Brothers, do you want to guess what their win-loss percentage is, or what their win total is? Win-loss total? 14-1. Fucking 14-1? Are you kidding me? The best part is the other ref today, Mark Davis. Want to guess what they are in their last six games? Seven games, actually. The Raptors are 7-0. The last seven games of Mark Davis's ref for them. The fact that the Raptors got both tonight is absolutely fucking outrageous, isn't it? That's crazy. At what point are the NBA like, oh, this seems like a good idea? You have statistics that tell you what refs, what outcomes have come from refs reffing specific teams. How could you fucking possibly have one ref that is 14-1 in the last 15 games and another that's 7-0? Going against fucking, it's absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. Anyway, this leads very nicely into Outback Takehouse. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means. 4-for-1, icy cold, oil drum cans full of tasty, delicious Fosters. TGIF, am I right? Only at Outback. That's right. 4-for-1 oil drum cans full of icy cold Fosters. It's cat's piss, and no bugger in Australia drinks this shit, but we're going to force it on you Yanks and call it Australian for beer. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, the NBA are clearly rigging this Eastern Conference Finals so that the Raptors make the NBA Finals in order to keep Kawhi Leonard in the Eastern Conference. Because they saw LeBron go to the West. They can't afford to have another superstar leave the East again. So they're going to keep Kawhi in the East by letting the Raptors get the NBA Finals. Only at Outback. All right, Australian Player watching the Luke Longley bloke who just did their bloody job. And Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day. Right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. How good was that flame grill take? It's a bit long-winded for the NBA to be rigging it so the Raptors win the finals so that Kawhi stays in the East, but hey, man. Some wild reference today, I'll tell you that much. The Australian player watch, I mean, Angie Bogut, week and a half off. He just got like an extra Easter break on you, Bogey. He's just hanging out on Twitter again, loving life. It's pretty great. So there you go, on you, Bogey. Well, what else do we do on Fridays, though? Oh, that's right, it's time for the Luke Longley bloke who just did their bloody job, Role Player Hall of Fame Inductee Memorial Award. Love a good Luke Longley Memorial Award. And today's is Brian Shaw. That's right. Now, there's a bloke who just did their bloody job, role player who made it to the Hall of Fame. Won three titles with the Lakers. Took a million years to get to that Lakers point, though, don't forget. And just because he's been a bit of a spud coach up and down here and there. He was drafted by the Celtics back in the late 80s and started a bunch of games his rookie year. Went to Italy the second year, which is crazy. Came back, absolutely crushed it for Boston. Started every game for the 1991 Celtics alongside Larry Bird and co. Averaged 14-8. Which is nuts. Then bounced around heaps. Miami, Orlando, Golden State, Philly, Portland for a single game. Then landed on the Lakers as the backup behind Ron Harper, D-Fish, Rick Fox, etc. as a backup guard. You know, that sort of classic 32, 33, 34-year-old point guard backup. But more fun was the idea that he was also on the Shaq Penny Magic. So he's like hung out with Shaq a whole bunch. Goes to the finals in 95 with Shaq and Penny, backing up Nick Anderson and Penny as well there. Averaged 6-5 that year. Anyway, but it finally gets to the Lakers as a classic veteran backup point guard. And this is why the idea of the role player bloke who just did their bloody job, Luke Longley Memorial Hall of Fame exists, is for dudes exactly like Brian Shaw. They just went out there, shot a pretty absolutely fine percentage when they were out there. They just ran the show very handily. They're just like, you know what? Guys, we've got this. His entire career, he was out there shooting okay. Well, for the first part of his career, he was a bit of a bad shooter the rest of the time. But, you know, was okay from three, handled the rock okay, had a good, you know, assist to turnover percentage. But more importantly, he was bald. Brian Shaw, he was out there for the Lakers, running around, looking okay, balding, and just like going, hey, man, I look the part. I look the part. I'm the classic backup point guard. Put me in your blokes who just did their bloody job Hall of Fame. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. Brian Shaw. Way to go, mate. Absolutely beautiful stuff. Classic veteran point backup point guard. Did his bloody job. Ran the offense. Was bald. I mean, what more do you need from a bloke who just does their bloody job? Absolutely nothing. So there you go. All right, let's do it. Let's look at the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in inspiration board, shall we? Has Patty got anything to say? I don't think so. Patty's been a bit loosey-goosey on the old Twitter. It's just not much is going on. How about Jingling Joe Ingles, though? This one's killing me because Jingling Joe Ingles is out there. He retweets his chat with Dwayne Russell. Retweets the Dwayne's World, though. Dwayne's World on SEA. Listen, brilliant chat extensively with Utah Jazz and Basketball Australia Boomers superstar Joe Ingles. And Dwayne Russell and Joe Ingles do have a great chat. To which I replied, Jingles, come on, mate. You're killing me. You're killing me, mate. Come on. NBA Australia for our 300th episode in a week and a half's time, mate. That's all we want, Jingler. Australia's little old biggest daily NBA show, standing in front of a Joe Ingles asking him to call in for our 300th show. That's all we want, mate. Come on, Jingles. Do it. We love you, mate. We just want you on there. Dwayne Russell, sure, he's a good fella. He's a pretty good commentator, I guess. Lost a lot of weight when I saw him at those Boomers games too. But anyway, Jingling Joe Ingles, inspiring as ever. And it's a great chat, don't get me wrong. It's pretty great stuff. But anyway, all right, let's do it. Game preview for Sunday's Game 6.
Game preview. Game preview.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. What's on for the weekend?
I'm going to go see D. Seattle at the corner tonight, which should be an absolute rip snorter. What do you reckon?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I reckon they're awesome. Love D. Seattle. All right, let's do it. Toronto Raptors hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. It's game 6 in the 6, as Toronto, remember. And the Raptors are 2-point favorites at home. And I'm going to go with my heart. I want the Bucks to win, so I'm going to go Bucks plus 2. I feel like Giannis could just... I predicted this for this game where Giannis ripped off an absolute ball tear of an MVP showing game at home. started off pretty well, but then, you know, the clamps got put on him. I want him to bounce back from this ankle. I want him to go out there, drop 43, lead the Bucks to a win, and get us to a game seven, just to really, really shove the dagger into Drake's back, just because, man, I'm not really looking forward to all of Drake's antics in game six, but at the same time, I kind of am. So that's going to be pretty fun. And I want Giannis to win game six in Toronto and tell Drake to sit down and shut the fuck up. That's what I really want to see. So give me Bucks plus two. I've got a feeling that line's going to change dramatically once we find out more about Giannis' ankle, though. So that'd be kind of cool. But anyway, we will be back on Monday to wrap up that game, because that's it for this week. Thanks for a great week. It's been really fun. Thanks to Lakers fan Tim yesterday for being a part of the show. And thanks to you for listening. You know, we wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you guys. And go hassle the jingler, would ya? Come on. Get him on the, what is it, hashtag jingles for 300. Anyway, we're back Monday with all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, we're all over the social media stuff. Don't forget about that. We're all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first. Smash the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side. And then go do all your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Helps out heaps. While you're at it, chuck a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on Android to listen to NBA Australia. Chuck us a rating if there's a rating system. It helps out heaps. We're also on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. So rate us, follow us, do all that good stuff. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's an absolute rip snorter. The vinyl's awesome. Got the t-shirt. The missus was wearing the t-shirt today. Looks great. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Doze. It's probably the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, everything. Remember, NBA Australia support Australian bands. All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for a fun week. Stick around for a brand new, the return of Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes on Twitter. And he's got a lot to say, so it's going to be pretty good. And we will speak to you on Monday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, all right, and welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because look, mate, with all this latte drinking in the city, left wing, SJW, snowflakes everywhere, someone has to be out there telling it like it is, mate. And that's just what I do. I talk about betting commercials. I talk about Sydney traffic, Jordan B. Peterson, the Sydney housing market, 3RW. The Australian criminal justice system. And if you don't like my opinions, you dickheads, you can just go get stuff, mate. It's easy to unfollow, so fuck off. Okay, so let's get to the Twitter internets and slam some Twitter snowflakes. And I reckon there's a couple floating around after the election, you know what I mean. Okay, all right, here we go. Oh, so don't know if you noticed, but we were in the playoffs and we beat Portland in the Western Conference Finals. But there was a silver lining for Portland. Portland. Highly rate your coffee. Send tweet. Good one, Bogey. Oh, I really like the Portland coffee. It was pretty great, mate. Really tasty stuff. I like their donuts. I like some other good stuff, mate. There's lots of tasty, tasty stuff out there. So what else we got out there today? Oh, this is going to be a fun one. Sunny Madra, Sundeep, tweeted out, glad I never watched GOT. Crying emoji, crying emoji. Times two. Oh, mate, it was so funny to see all these nerds get all like, caught up in their feelings and stuff, wasn't it? Bunch of snowflakes are about a goddamn TV show, mate. I mean, settle down, jeez. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a bit of an election last week. This is pretty great. Oh, I better tweet about this one, eh? Interesting hashtag OzVotes 2019 election results to wake up to. Can't believe the media got it wrong. Nerd face emoji. Oh, nice one, Bogey. That'll show him. That's pretty funny stuff, mate. So Peter Brown, the Sydney editor for one of my favorite magazine slash sort of, you know, newspapers. He said, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that most voting Australians aren't on Twitter or care about Twitter or care about what people think on Twitter. Hashtag as Oz votes. I gotta agree with him. 100% this, not just politics, but most things in general. Hashtag bubble. I was just speaking to my florist, old mate Giuseppe, just the other day, mate. He's just down the road there in Nutterwadding. And he's like, I got him on the dog and bone because I had to organize some flowers for my mum. And it was all like, oh, Giuseppe, what do you reckon about all these politics, mate? He's like, oh, don't listen to this bullshit on Twitter, mate. You got to listen to all the real people who come into the store, mate. I'm like, you're right, Giuseppe, you're right. So I then had to tweet out this one. Australia, considering the election result over the weekend, how much different was your Monday compared to last Monday? Exactly. Oh, these snowflakes getting all busted up about it, mate. Oh, but anyway, the other good news was this week we won the Western Conference Finals. So I tweeted out a picture of me with the thing. Here we go. Flight back to the Bay. Hashtag conference champs. Picture of me with my thumbs up. And the big trophy. This is thick as, mate. Oh, how's this dickhead? He says, oh, this dickhead at $1.61 Cardenas. He says, oh, Andrew Bogut, how many minutes did you play again? Fuck you, Juan. One or two more than you. Cross arms emoji. Ha ha ha. Oh, Bogey, that's funny as hell because his name's Juan and I play one or two more minutes than him. That's great. Oh, so one of my other favorite topics is the hypocrisy of Hollywood. So Yasha Ali tweeted out, in the aftermath of the Weinstein scandal, Quentin Tarantino told Joe DeCantor he knew that Weinstein was a sexual predator and did nothing. Now he's the toast of Cannes, while many of the women who were abused told him and he did nothing. Good old Hollywood. Smack in my face emoji. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Still. Anyway, oh, and one of my other favorites, Ed Lattimore, he said, no one is above getting cut off. This is one of the secrets to my happiness. Doesn't matter if it's family, friends, doesn't matter. And I got to agree. Harsh reality. Press downward finger looking emoji send tweet. Good one, Bogey. It really is, mate. You can't keep toxic people in your life. And I'm going to go back to my election results tweet. And I got to say, this one's going to hurt all you snowflakes out there, but I've got to say it. No one ever wants to hear, I told you so, but... dot, 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 dot. Crossed arms emoji. Crying laughing emoji. Sweating laughing emoji. It's a good one, Bogey. You burn them all. Okay, so that's all we got time for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. Join us next week on NBA Australia for some more Andrew Bogut. Slams from Twitter, snowflakes from Twitter.